It's a real thing. A thing that often keeps us from entering in to the fullness of what He has for us. It's fear of people. It's fear of losing control. It's fear of what could happen when I don't fully know the unknown. But the Bible says that perfect love casts out all fear. And that's that unconditional love that flows from heaven. It flows from Calvary. It embraces us not for what we have done or what we could ever do, but simply because God of the universe loves you. Like a father or a mother who holds that little baby. The baby has not earned its love, their love. It just is. So, Father, I pray that people in this place will experience your perfect, unconditional love that washes away fear and give us that courage to enter in and embrace everything you have for us. So, Father, I pray in Jesus' name that, Lord, we'll not only know it in our hearts, know it in our heads, but we will know it in our hearts. That imperfect love will cast off all the fear that we experience. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Hallelujah. You may all be seated. Mavis's sister has a little testimony she wants to share with us.
Thank you. I just want to confirm the testimony that the two young ladies gave. I want to confirm the goodness of God. I want to confirm that God is our provider. I want to confirm what they said as a reminder that we must ask. When Mavis was making plans to move into town for the winter, I started asking God. Mavis's birthday's in November, and I started asking God, I wanted to go see my sister. This is the goodness of God. This was perfect timing. And I thank Father God and Jesus and Holy Spirit for His provision.
He's a good, good God. Amen. How many enjoyed the worship? Thank you, Jesus. I have the privilege. First of all, I'm going to bless our kids. God bless the little ones as they go to be with the teachers. And I have the privilege today to again introduce my good friend, Carolyn. She's going to come and share with us. How many has heard Carolyn before? How many has heard her preach and teach? She has an intercessory heart, which means she is standing in the gap for this little church and praying for us and praying for me and my wife. And she is a spiritual sister. God bless you.
Thank you so much. Thank you. It's always so awesome to be here. Thank you so much. I'm wondering if there's anybody here that's here for the first time today. Is there anyone here for the very first time? Well, welcome. Welcome. It's great. It's just always great to have guests, and I don't feel like I'm a guest anymore. I feel like I'm family. So I thank you so much for that. Thank you. And it's just so awesome to be here. And oh my goodness, you know, I think that, okay, this is just my opinion, I'm not saying God said this, but I kind of think that what we should do in church services is do some talking first, and that would prepare our hearts, and then go into worship and end with worship. Because how do you even follow that? You know, that just bringing praise to our Father is so beautiful and so sweet. I don't know, maybe we should try it sometime. Yeah. And, you know, I take it very seriously when I'm invited to come someplace to speak. I don't take it for granted. Even after close to 30 years of ministry time, I never take it for granted. And I always ask the Lord with great sincerity and sobriety of my heart if he would show something fresh, something new, just for this moment of time and this place. And so it's always, you know, a delight and an excitement to be able to come and say, I believe the Lord has a word for today. It's also always a little nerve-wracking because I haven't had a chance to practice anything. So, but I do believe that today that there is a fresh word for you and for me. And why do I believe that with great confidence? Because our God loves to talk to us. And he wants to speak to us more than we want to hear. And I know that everybody who's here, you would not be here today if you didn't want to hear from the Lord. So I know with confidence that we've come with that longing in our heart. And I know that there's a hunger in this place that is beautiful and refreshing. And one of the things that the Lord had put on my heart for today is that there is a fresh touch of the Master's hand. All the time, every day. And he longs to just to come and to touch us. And, you know, when you look all through history and biblical history, you see that there has always been a longing and a desire in people's hearts for a blessing. So I looked up in the dictionary. Well, it was on my phone dictionary. Used to always be a dictionary. I used to carry this big, like, it was almost this size, you know, 20-pound dictionary around the church with me. Because actually, I find that the dictionary is just an awesome way to pray. This is just a little side note. It's just an awesome way to pray. Because there'll be times that I just want to have something fresh that's on my heart. So I'll go to the dictionary, which is now my phone. But it used to be my dictionary. And I'll look up a word. And the word, for example, one word is good, or goodness of the Lord. I think that's a good word. And then I could pray for 4 hours just on that one word, because when you read what the definition of the word is, it begins to just stir in our heart, expands our heart, and enlightens our heart to what these words actually mean. And I carried this dictionary around with me all the way until maybe just last year when I, you know, started using my phone. And then I got thinking about that dictionary of all these years of praying with it and all these years of ministry and all the churches and the continents, the countries that I've taken that dictionary. And I realized something. I stole that dictionary from my high school. Now, I have since then repented. And this is the honest truth. I even phoned the principal of my high school. And like, I'm almost as old as Hans. So high school was a long time ago. And I actually phoned the principal of the high school and apologized. Like, but anyway, I felt better about myself. And he didn't really know who I was. And I grew up in Pinoca anyway, so it was okay. But I looked up in the dictionary what the word blessing means. And the word blessing means blessing. It's not complicated. It's just pure. It's not complicated. It's not something that we have to study the Greek and study the Hebrew. And I'm all about that. I love that. But the word blessing means blessing. Favor from God. And many wars have started over the desire for a blessing. And wrap your head around that one for a minute. And when we look through the Bible, we see right from the very beginning of the history of the Bible that there has been a battle for blessing. Right from Adam and Eve. What did they want? They wanted, after they were exiled from the garden, they just wanted to have the blessing of the Lord with them. That's what they longed for. Or what about Jacob and Esau? What a battle. What a battle for blessing right in the womb. They were fighting for that blessing. And, you know, when we study a little bit more about the whole birthright story, there's so much to that. Because what they were fighting for was the blessing from the father, which is often called the master of the house, the father of the house. They were fighting for a blessing. You know, Esau in his time of just weakness, you know, like he sold his birthright for his bowl of lentil stool, whatever it was that he wanted, that pottage they called it. He quickly sold it and gave it up. But then there was the understanding, what have I done? It wasn't the inheritance that was given up, because as a matter of fact, they both became, you know, different nations and had wealth. That's not what the issue was. But they gave up the master's blessing. They gave up the touch of the master's hand. And then when you continue even to look at Moses, what did he ask God? Bless my people. And when you think of what Moses taught the priests, the first thing he taught the judge, the priests, the first thing he taught them was how to bless the people. That was the first thing he taught them once they were settled in and organized, how to bless the people. When you think about people over the generations they will go on pilgrimages. They will spend all of their money, all of their time, all of their effort, all of their passion to go and be blessed by the priest. We have built within us a longing, a desire, and a need for the touch of the master's hand, for the blessings. And we continue on through the Bible. What about the story of the prodigal son? Now, you know, that story, which I know we've all heard that and we all had teaching, and it's one of my favorite stories in the Bible. But when the son went to the father and said, I want my inheritance, it was very disrespectful in those days. Because what he was saying is, you see, you didn't get your inheritance until the father of the house, until the master of the house was dead. So what the son was saying is, I'm calling you dead to me, and I'm separating myself. It wasn't just write me a check, and I get my money's worth, and I'll go. You know, like, it was saying, you are dead to me. And off he went. We all know that story, what took place. But then when he decides, and you know, it was not an easy decision for him to come back to his father's house. It wasn't like he was just saying, I'm hungry, I made a mistake, I'm going home. And that's what we've fostered in our home for our children. That's what we've fostered, you know, that's what people long for, is that their children know they can always, as long as mom and dad are around, they can always come back home. But that's not what it was like. He had cut off the touch of the master's hand. He had cut off the blessing in his life. By taking that inheritance, he had said, my father, the master of this house, is dead to me. So for him to go back home wasn't just, I've made a mistake, I'm going home. There was so much more to it. It was like digging up dead ground and saying, I'm going to see the dead raised. I'm going to be a part of the blessing by the touch of my father's hand. And so off he goes. And you know, what did the father do? At the distance, he ran to his son. This son that had disrespected him. This son that had squandered not just the money, but had squandered the whole value of saying, this is my father. And off goes the father, running. My son's returned. That wasn't even his son anymore. According to the law of the land, they had separated. But in his heart, that was always his son. He runs to him. He embraces him. Everything that is mine is yours. That's the dead being raised back to life. That is the power of a blessing. That is a touch of the master's hand. The power of the blessing on that young man brought back to life a severed family, brought back to life and raised the dead by the power of a blessing. The father came back and embraced and blessed him. He didn't come back and give him, yes, he said, you know, we're going to have a party. Put the rings on his fingers and the robes on his back. We're going to have a party. Yes, yes, there was that. But when he ran to him empty-handed. He didn't run with the party. He ran empty-handed and embraced him. That was the blessing. The rest was the party. But that was the blessing. The power of the blessing. So we see all through history, all through biblical history. What about them? We continue on. And what did they say? Jesus said, bring the children so I can bless them. He called them out. We as parents, we know, what do we want the greatest blessing for? We want the greatest blessing for our children. So that grips our heart, right? There isn't a parent here or a grandparent or a great-grandparent here that wouldn't give up any blessing for your child. So we see that this is a powerful move of the Lord is through blessings. It seems so simple. It seems so simple that we often haven't thought about it. It seems so simple that we've ignored it and we haven't paid attention to the power of a blessing, to the anointing of a blessing, to the touch of the master's hand. And you know, things about Christianity, things about walking with the Lord, things about hearing God's voice, things about spiritual warfare, things about healing, things about worship, these things are not hard. They're not complicated. And it's the same with blessing. They're just to be available so that the touch of the master's hand can move through us. I have seen more healing take place under the word of a blessing than I have seen under the request of healing. Isn't that powerful? I have seen years of separation, families divided. I have seen shredded hearts, people filled with gravel and wounds and hurts, be healed in an instant under the power of a blessing, under the anointing of a blessing. We've heard of and we have seen land and towns, cities, nations be brought back together. We've heard of governments that have toppled. We have heard of evil that has fallen in the snap of the fingers by the power of a blessing. The touch of the master's hand. We can have all sorts of words and knowledge and understanding. And those are all great. Those are wonderful. But when we begin to understand the power of a blessing, and that everybody here, everyone here, you long for, you need, you deserve, you desire, and you are givers of blessings. Now, again, I know I've mentioned this to you before when I've been here, is that one of the things that the Lord has allowed for me to do is to be able to see pictures. I'm very thankful for it. And so I always ask for pictures. Can I see what's going on? And so I saw a picture in Maple Creek that I want to share with you. And what the picture was I saw a church, and in the church, my heart felt like it was this church, but it was a church. And in the church, what I saw was a lineup of people. People were lined up. It looked like this black ribbon going through the streets of people lined up to come through the church. And up they would come, and they would receive a blessing, and out they would go. And they would come in dark, and they would go out light. They'd come in hurt. They'd come in broken. And they'd go out lifting their hands in praise and worship. They'd come in so bound by fear. I'm so glad that we spoke about fear today. Thank you. Thank you. You know, they'd come in bound by fear and going out with that freedom of understanding who they are because of the touch of the Master's hand, the power of a blessing. And then as I drew closer to the church to come, because I longed to walk in there, I wanted that blessing. There was something in me, a tenacity, that was saying, go for that blessing, because that's what's within us. That's what we just talked about. We've heard through the whole history of the Bible, the fighting, the battling, the wooing of a blessing. How about the lady who went out? She broke every rule to go and touch the hem of the garment of the Master for her blessing. People can say she went for her healing. Yes, but that's a blessing. And so as I saw in that picture, and I drew closer and closer, all of a sudden there was an understanding in my spirit that the Lord was expanding that, and it wasn't any longer a church, but it was home after home after home. And people were coming into these homes in Saskatchewan, in Maple Creek, and I really believe that there's a call on the land of Saskatchewan for a release and a freedom to be the blessers that God has called us. And I am convinced that as revivals blow across, as a revival breath blows across this nation, I've seen it, I've heard it, I've spoken to the others that know that there is this verge of revival on the nation. It's going to look different than what we might think, but there's that breath of wind that's blowing across the nation. And I am convinced from what I saw that Saskatchewan is going to be known as a province of blessing. And that excites me. And I believe that there's something that's released here and now where people are going to begin to really rise up in understanding and going after the freedom to know that you are a blesser, that you walk in the power of blessing. There are those that are here today that don't believe that. And the reason you don't believe it is because you don't think you're worth it. That's for someone who's more holy than I am, someone who didn't swear at breakfast, somebody who didn't have a fight. Show me who that is. Well, I didn't swear at breakfast, but I've done other things. And, you know, there's, and I really believe that the Lord is longing for, is chiding you, is calling, is wooing, is fighting for each one of you to have a breakthrough today, right now, this second, to dare to say, I'm worth it. I'm a blesser. The Lord will use me as a touch of the Master's hand. The power and the anointing of blessing runs through me. May I ask you here, who in this room, would you put up your hand if you've accepted Jesus as your Savior? Well, you're a blesser. The anointed one, the creator of all heaven and earth, the one who placed the stars in the sky, the one who puts the waves within the boundary, the one who has given every sparrow a song and goes to their funeral, the one who knows every hair on your head, the one who has put that unique thumbprint on your hand. He's in you. He's with you. He dwells within you. He's given you life abundantly. So I am asking you, be brave today. Be brave and be willing to say, no longer will I believe the lie that I am not worth it, that I cannot be a blesser. Who am I to bless? I need a blessing. Well, we all do. And today, I encourage each one of you to shake off that dust, to dare to believe. And it takes courage. There are people here in this room, you have hung on for so long to the lie that you're not worth it, that you don't want to let it go anymore. And the reason you don't want to let it go is because if you dare to believe it, what if it doesn't happen and you'll be disappointed again? Well, I break off that lie in the name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus, I break off that lie. And we speak life to you, and we tell you that the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. You are a blesser. You are the extended hand of the touch of the Master. And so in that vision I saw, in that picture I saw, home after home after home. And then it went outside of Maple Creek. Home after home after home. Streams of people walking through in the dark, leaving in the light. Why? Because they came for a blessing and they received it. What does a blessing look like? What does creation look like? Everyone here looks different. Everyone here has different DNA. So what does a blessing look like? You'll know. You'll know what it looks like. It may be a smile. It may be a handshake. Maybe a high five. Maybe it's passing on some money. Maybe it's reminding somebody who they are in Christ. Maybe it's just actually taking time, looking someone in the eye and saying, "How are you today?" Why do we complicate a blessing? What would you like? Then do it. Who are you? What position are you in? What sphere of influence do you have? What kind of language goes on inside of you? Then speak that to someone else. Don't try to be anyone else but you. And let the touch of the Master's hand flow through you and be one of those homes where the heavy come in and they leave light and full of the touch of the Lord. We often think, I couldn't pray to see the dead raised, and when I pray for people to be healed, I haven't seen it yet, and I don't feel like I could talk to people about accepting Christ, and my life is not worthy of talking about. Be a blesser. Cancel the curse by being a blesser. You know, the Bible talks about how blessed when they come in and blessed when they go out. Bless their refrigerator. Bless their animals. Bless their health. Bless their relationships. Bless their wholeness of who they are. You know, it doesn't matter how hurt you've come from. It doesn't matter what your background in. It doesn't matter if you didn't have birthday parties. You're a blesser. You've blessed me today. You're an incredible, mighty blesser. Go bless the world. You do. And you do. It doesn't matter how hurt, how wounded, how dark, how rich, how happy your spiritual DNA represents, because you are a blesser. You can do it. Everyone can do it. And in the simplicity of it, I think we've rubbed it raw and don't want to touch that. But yet, in just the simplicity of understanding that within us, we have the touch of the Master's hand, and we walk in that anointing, and we walk in that power of being a blesser. And that is so powerful. And I believe for Saskatchewan, and I believe for Canada. And I'll stand up, and I will fight for this nation, and I will fight as a blesser. And the power that we're seeing when we speak life into others, when we even when there's times that the woundedness in us rises up and begins to choke us, even when there's times when we don't feel brave and we don't feel that we can stand at the shore and let the waves wash over us, we still have within us the longing for a blessing and to be a blesser. And you know, I know there's so many people here that you've done this. You've already done this. This has been your life. And I encourage you, don't stop. And you know, today, as I was just praying for people when people were coming in, Emo, is that your name? I just wanted to tell you, the Lord just placed on my heart such a fervency to tell you that you are a blesser. You are a man who have drawn people to the kingdom simply by being you. And the Lord has many other people that he's bringing across your path. You are not finished drawing people to the kingdom yet. And the anointing that you walk in as a blesser, you have just quietly done it. You have done it step by step, year after year. Yes, and you have been a blesser. And we bless that in you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for that in the name of Jesus. And I ask you, dear sir, please know that you are contagious. And I say to you, younger people, like 60-year-olds, well, I'm not quite 60 yet, go to this man. Get him to pray over you. He is a contagious blesser. It's the inside fabric of who he is. Release it. Release it over people, because you have an anointing. You have a gifting that is so powerful. And glory to God in Jesus' name. And glory to God. So, dear friends, where you feel that you have had dirty water, where you feel that there is nothing fresh in you, when you feel that you walk in fear and you have nothing left to give, it's a lie. Don't believe it anymore. I want to just tell you about a quick experiment that I did in my home. Super fun, super cool. Okay, now, I didn't invent this. I read it off the internet. And I think Anita even told me about it first. So maybe you guys have heard about it. Maybe you've tried it. But I did do this. So I got two jars of rice. And I put a cup of rice in each jar and then filled it with water. And my grandkids loved this. And so every day I took this one rice, got my husband to agree to do this. He shake his head sometimes at the things I do. And we blessed that rice. We spoke life over it. I found that I was getting, even in the morning, I could hardly wait to get up in the morning and tell my jar of rice I love it. And we spoke life over it. Once I even found myself holding it, plugging its ears so it didn't hear this argument that we were having. Yes. Okay, I know, I went a little overboard. But I was actually starting to fall in love with my rice. And we spoke blessings over that rice every day. My grandkids would come over and they would, oh, you're so beautiful, you know, and they would speak life over it. Even our little two-year-old, they say something nice to it. I'll share my cookie with you. You know, it is so sweet. But then we had the other jar of rice, and I drew a big sad face on it. And then we spoke nasty things to that rice every day. Now, I didn't get as excited about that rice, but I did it because I wanted to, you know, the experiment. I even told my grandkids, my one granddaughter who's 10, and she'd come over and I said, you can say anything to that rice that you want, even if mommy wouldn't want you to. We give you permission. Speak to that rice, whatever you want to say. Just take it into the other room so that the loving rice doesn't have to hear it. But anyway, did this experiment, and within at least 2 weeks, maybe less. You know, the experiment says do it for a month, but that rice that we spoke love to began to ferment, and it had bubbles in the water, and some of the rice had opened up, and some of the rice was starting to go green. It didn't actually sprout, but perhaps if I'd kept it longer, it may have. And anyway, it had life in it, had life. The other rice went moldy. the power of a blessing. The touch of the Master's hand, the love, the mercy, the freedom, the healing, the wholeness. That rice was fermenting. Fermenting means life. The other rice went moldy. Don't tell me there's not something to this. These are jars of rice, people. The rice got so stinky, that fermented rice, we had to throw it out. But you know what? It was an example of something incredible. If that's just a jar of processed rice, I didn't even go to the organic store and get all of the organic stuff. It was just a bag of rice. If that's what happens to rice, imagine your neighbor, your coworker, your child, your parent. Bless them. Be a blesser. Pour life into everyone you meet. Be a touch of the Master's hand. Speak life over them. It's not hard. But there's so much anointing to it. You know, we have... There's power in testimony when the Bible talks about the blood of the Lamb and the power of the testimony. There's so much power in testimonies. Like those girls that talked about their money, we really actually should get them, if they'd be willing to come at the end of the service, which is soon, and pray with us and for us. Like, wow, what faith, what innocent, amazing faith. Let's just ask for another $100 bill. I've never found a $100 bill in my life. They found four. Like, that's crazy amazing. Just the simplicity of, oh, let's just ask. Oh, I don't know, it's kind of funny. Hey, let's go climb a tree and find money. Like, are you kidding me? That's awesome. I wonder if there's anyone here that would mind to go and ask them if they'd be willing to come and join us in prayer after. Thank you, Marlene. If they don't want to, make them anyway. No, I don't want to scar them. But testimonies are so powerful. Testimonies are a blessing because they speak of the breakthroughs. They speak of life that's been placed within us. Don't be afraid to speak your testimony out. And maybe you're going to say, well, my testimony, you know, it's not finished yet. So there's still layers of blessing after blessing after blessing. And today we have an opportunity to be able to, Jen is going to come and she's going to share a powerful testimony with us. And we want to just be a part of this blessing. Thank you. Do you want this? Well, you need this.
Yeah. Can I turn around?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to try and do this without crying. Okay, so. Okay, one day I'll be strong enough to share my whole testimony, but right now this is what I need to share. I wrote this, and now I'm reading it because I want everyone to know what I've gone through this past few months, but because I have went through it, it breaks my heart to know that I'm not the only one. Struggling and thinking there is no hope, no purpose, and no way out. I share what I'm about to share because there is hope, purpose, and freedom in Christ. Although I have a wonderful husband and two beautiful, amazing children, my past continues to haunt me. On November 7th at 10:30, I broke. After months of depression and grief, I tried to end my pain and heartache and fear by taking more drugs than anybody should be able to handle. I didn't want to kill myself. I just wanted the hurt and suffering to go away. All I could see was defeat. I felt like I had fallen into a deep black hole with no light to be seen and no way out. Here's where my problem began. I gave up. I stopped believing that I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength, Philippians 4:13. I stopped allowing myself to feel. If I stop feeling, I can't hurt. If I stopped opening up, sharing, and stopped allowing people into my heart, mostly I stopped believing in God's love, that God loves me, and that I'm worthy, beautiful, and worth the fight. I stopped believing with God all things are possible, Matthew 19:26. I gave up hope. I gave up on God. I started off slowly missing church once a month to making excuses to twice a month. Then I came up with I don't need to go to church to be a Christian. Then finally, to not attending church at all for 3 months. Slowly, as I missed church, though, I walked further and further away from God. And before I knew it, it was gone. My love for Christian music was no longer, and when people talked about God, it made me mad. After 20 years, I let the devil win. Why, if God loves me so much, would he allow me to be abused sexually, mentally, physically, and verbally my whole life? Why did he allow me to be born to a mother and father who didn't want me, then allow horrible things to be done to me since I was 4? To become a Christian and live the rest of my life in heartache and physical and chronic pain from all the abuse I endured. Why can't I live my life free from pain and suffering? Why? As I laid there in my drug-induced coma for 3 days, I pleaded with God to take me away or to take away my hurt. 4 days later, thankfully after much prayer, by friends and family, I came back. I was sorry for what I had done. Thankful that my husband never called 911 and admitted me, for it's not man I needed, it was God. Also very thankful that my children had no knowledge of what really just happened, that mommy was just sick and in pain. Most importantly, I was ready to fight for my life. I was going to take back what the devil had stole from me and win and send him back where he came from. Thankfully, Pastor Hans and Janet spent many hours with my husband and I, where deliverance, healing, and repentance took place. The spirit of suicide, self-harm, and self-hatred had to leave, and healing had to come. I'm not where I need to be yet. Yes, there is much deliverance and healing to come, but as of now, I will stand on Psalms 147:3. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. And Jeremiah 17:14, God picks up my pieces and of my life and puts me back together again. And Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And I also believe that God never sends you into a situation alone. God goes before you, he stands beside you, and he walks behind you. Whatever situation you're in right now, be confident that God is with you. If you are where I was these past few months and feeling that there's no hope, please do not do as I have done and walk away from God or church. Please do not bottle it up inside, and please don't give up the fight. Ask for help. Talk to Pastor Hans and Janet or Paul or Jill. I know they will gladly take you by the hand and walk with you right up into Jesus' arms. You will see the light again. All you have to do is fight. Know that many people love you in this church, and don't let the devil tell you otherwise. And most importantly, know that God loves you.
Thank you. Thank you, Jen, for being brave. Thank you for blessing all of us. Thank you for being a blesser today. Thank you for letting the touch of the Master's hand on your life touch ours. And I ask you, everyone, when you get an opportunity, and bless Jen. Bless her. And as she's blessed us today, thank you for doing that today. We just bless you in the name of Jesus. Thank you. I want to just read this poem, so I think that it sums up so much and a real reminder of our heart today. And then we're going to have some time for prayer. But the touch of the Master's hand is on you and is in you. And, you know, today there's been so many incredible blessings that have taken place that we don't even always see as blessing. But the power of a blessing will always cancel a curse. And I encourage each one of you today to be encouraged that you are filled with endless supply of blessings. Ask Holy Spirit how and where and who you can be a blessing. I know there are people here, you've made this a life call for yourself. How do I be a blesser? Who can I bless today? But I'm asking you to even take that and now take it a step further and say, not just how can I bless someone and who can I bless today, but begin to even believe, see, know, and release that the blessings that you pour out today literally change the spiritual atmosphere of your home, of your community, of your school, of your workplace. It's not just about that one individual, but it's about a whole spiritual atmosphere. And blessing is very contagious. 'Twas battered and scarred, and the auctioneer thought it scarcely worth his while to waste much time on the old violin, but he held it up with a smile. "What am I bidding, good folks?" he cried. "Who'll start the bidding for me? $1, $1, then two, only two, $2, and who'll make it three? $3 once, $3 twice, going for three, but no." From the room far back, a gray-haired man came forward and picked up the bow. Then wiping the dust from the old violin and tightening the loose strings, he played a melody pure and sweet as caroling angels sings. The music ceased, and the auctioneer, with a voice that was quiet and low, said, "What am I bidding for the old violin?" And he held it up with the bow. $1,000, and who'll make it two? $2,000, and who'll make it three? $3,000 once, $3,000 twice, and going and gone," said he. The people cheered, but some of them cried, "We do not quite understand. What changed its worth?" Swift came the reply, "The touch of the Master's hand." And many a man with life out of tune and battered and scarred with sin is auctioned cheap to the thoughtless crowd, much like the old violin. A mess of pottage, a glass of wine, a game, and he travels on. He's going once and going twice. He's going and almost gone. But the Master comes, and the foolish crowd never quite understand the worth of a soul and the change that's wrought by the touch of the Master's hand. So, Heavenly Father, Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for your touch. We thank you for the touch of your hand on each one of us. I thank you, Father, for your touch on each dream that's been lost, each hope that has faded. I thank you, Father, for the touch on each physical body. Father, I thank you for your touch on each heart that's here. I thank you, Father, that each person that's here, you have gifted us with the power of a blessing. I ask you, Lord, that everyone that's here today, that there would be a special touch of your hand on them today. Lord, I pray that you would go to those hurts. I pray that you would go, Father God, to those homes, that you would go to those situations where only your touch can bring the value. Only your touch can bring the music back. I pray today that there would be a breakthrough of the touch of your hand on each life. Lord, stir in each person that's here today, stir up a fresh longing and desire to be a blesser. Lord, I pray for those that have such a need for finances, such a need for health, such a need for reconciliation. Father, I pray for those that are here today that the touch of the Master's hand will change their situation this day, this moment. For those that are calling out and longing, Father God, for the dreams you've placed in their heart to be revisited. For those dreams, Father God, to have life again. For that hope to rise up again. Let it be the touch of your hand. So your name will be glorified in all things, Lord Jesus. So, Father, we thank you today for that fresh touch on each person's life. In the precious name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. The girls are here. Would you like to set up prayer?